Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Kyle Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at KyleYNFL. Yates, how's it going?
It's good, man. It's a little weird. Today is normally when I would be diving into like weekly rankings process and just like looking back over the stats from the last week and just kind of fine-tuning my... Well, I can't do that today because we got the Tuesday night football. I don't have the Vegas lines for some of these games for next week. It's just weird. Tuesday night football, man.
Yeah, I'm torn in between like loving it because I'm like, wonderful, it's an extra night of football where usually my Tuesday nights is watching like reruns of Jeopardy and stuff like that. But right now I'm sort of also like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to prepare. And I'm concerned about how many days of football there are going to be as they redo the schedule and everything like that. But we're going to talk about it all. We're going to talk about the rest of the season and what we're looking like. With our guest today, it is the great Eric Moody over from The Athletic. You can find him on Twitter at Eric N. Moody. Eric, how you doing?
No, things are going great. And I do echo Yates's comments about it just feels weird, you know, football on a Tuesday. But things are going great. Like I mentioned to you, Dan, fully caffeinated. I just hope the status quo persists for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm already out. I had my coffee first thing in the morning and I'm already in need of my second cup. But I'm going to wait until after this podcast because we've got a lot to get to today. As always, like we do on our Tuesday show, it's going to be more of a trade and a rest of season outlook sort of thing. We're going to look at some of the most traded players. We're going to look at some of the searches for various players, which is a cool thing we have in one of our tools where you can see the top options that people are searching for, being like, I have this player, I kind of want to trade him for this player, should I do it? So that's something that can tell you how fantasy managers are kind of viewing things. We'll also break down last night's game, which was really entertaining between the Saints and the Chargers. We'll end with the listener mailbag. Got a lot of good stuff for you today. But first, let's remind you about our monster giveaway that runs through 11:59 p.m. on Halloween. It is a signed black and gold Aaron Jones Packers helmet, a $200 gift card for Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card for Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league's champion and your last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a one-month subscription to Fubo TV. To enter the giveaway, you can do it in one of three ways, or better yet, all three of three ways. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Pros, you can follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Pros, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros. Any one of those is an entry. All three of those count as an entry, so you can do up to three entries for this contest. And if you go and go to fantasypros.com/contest. That's how you can fill out the form and enter. On a very personal note, we are putting out a ton of content as we are trying to do. We do the 6 podcasts a week. We do 4 live streams on our YouTube channel. We do quick hitting graphics and a start sit IG live on our Fantasy Bros account on Sunday mornings. We do all this stuff just to try to provide as much content as possible. So an easy way to support us, if you do like any of our content, is just to follow us on any of our, on Twitter, on Instagram, even on Facebook at Fantasy Pros, and to subscribe to our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros. All right, guys. So we're going to get into last night's game very quickly. I will mention at the start, it sounds like Dalvin Cook, Yates, you mentioned it, you know, you sent me a note first thing, which is basically Dalvin Cook, as we suspected yesterday on the Waiver Wire show, is going to be out for at least this week. They do have a bye next week, the Vikings. So you can assume probably that he will be back, although it's an adductor strain. I don't really know. I'm not necessarily absolutely counting on him to be back after the bye. I mean, I'm going into it with that sort of impression. But let me ask you, Eric, because we talked about it a lot. Alexander Mattison is somehow available still in roughly 3 in 10 leagues. I don't understand why that is possible. If he's out there and available, how much of your fab would you be willing to spend on him, knowing that it might just be a 1 week thing, but there's a chance it could be longer?
Yeah, and you can never tell with Dalvin Cook, especially just given his injury history. But yeah, if Alexander Mattison's out there, you definitely want to grab him. He's got a really good matchup for this week. Definitely RB2, you know, high-end RB2 with RB1 upside. So, you know, I'm willing, just depending on how my season is going, to put 40 to 50% of my fab, you know, out there for Mattison. But I'm looking at it more from like a long-term lens. Granted, hey, you'll have the start for this week, but still, if there is some type of setback or an additional injury to Dalvin Cook, I'm like, you still have him on your roster where you could use him.
Yeah, Yates, did the, you know, the fact that it doesn't sound serious, kind of as we suspected, does this alter anything that we said on yesterday's Waiver Wire show, or you're still basically going out there 40 to 50%, just like Eric said, just like we said yesterday?
No, I'll echo Eric's thoughts there. That's exactly where I'm kind of at, you know, is that 40 to 50%, because again, Eric mentioned a high-end RB2, I mean, potentially even higher than that. Like, this is a fantastic matchup for him. And then you do have the potential that Dalvin Cook gets re-injured. That was always a possibility. He's just, with his injury history, it's always going to be there. So I think having Alexander Mattison on your roster is a smart move, regardless of the long-term, you know, immediate usage, where, or long-term, like, top-end usage, right? Because he does come with this upside that if Dalvin Cook comes back, he's not fully healthy, he re-injures that groin, you know, issue, then you have Alexander Mattison again to be able to plug into your lineup, and you don't have to go and spend significant fab money again to go get him.
No, I agree with all that. And again, yeah, I agree, though, Yates. My guess, I don't know where he's going to wind up exactly in my week 6 ranks, because I haven't started the process yet, especially with the one game to go. But yeah, my guess is like almost borderline top 5 in half PPR when all is said and done. It's a great matchup, and he produced extremely well when he filled in for Cook in the past, and of course, against the Seahawks. Let's get into last night here, though, guys. A really entertaining and interesting game here. Saints 30, Chargers 27. For the Saints, Drew Brees looks terrible in the first half. Like, I mean, Yates, you and I were messaging each other and just like, oh my goodness. He does wind up with 325 yards passing and a passing touchdown, as well as that rushing touchdown where he snuck it in there. He does throw a pick. Eric, let me ask you something. After, I don't know how you were viewing Drew Brees coming into this game, but after this game, is your value for Drew Brees rest of season up, down, or the same?
Yeah, for me with Drew Brees, it's still the same. As you mentioned, I'm like, he doesn't have the arm strength to obviously sling the football around like he used to, you know, but he does have that killer instinct in key moments, and that ultimately made the difference, you know, from like a real life football perspective. One thing that was interesting, though, I'm like, this comeback for Brees, you know, marks the Saints' second win in the Drew Brees era after trailing by 17 or more points, according to NFL research. As far as with Brees for the rest of the season, I kind of view him as more of like a mid-range QB2 for the rest of the season, but not a guy I'm really rushing to get in the lineups, just to be transparent.
No, I completely agree with that. Where do you have him, Yates, rest of season in your QB rankings?
Right there at quarterback 15. So I completely agree with Eric. That's where he's been. He didn't really move him a whole lot because of the guys below him. So looking at Drew Brees, he can still be an option in plus matchups. But yeah, looking at that first half last night, that was not good. Was able to put it together, you know, and obviously that's what he does so well, is just being able to lead a team in that comeback, that calmness that he can bring this team back. So, but looking at for a fantasy perspective, yeah, he's just kind of a mid-range QB2 for me.
Yeah, I do think things will look a little better. I mean, the overall numbers in the end weren't bad. I mean, you have over 300 yards passing, you account for 2 touchdowns. That's fine. It was just more the optics of watching him throw the balls. They didn't have that much zip on it. But again, you know, the Saints' upcoming schedule, they now have a bye next week. They've got Carolina, which is fine, but Chicago, at Tampa Bay, San Francisco, that'll probably be a little healthier. Not the greatest schedule going forward, but yeah, I'm 16th right now, so I think we're all in that same range. I do think that there may be better days once Michael Thomas comes back, because you do know how much of a difference he can make. Alvin Kamara, meanwhile, totals 119 yards on 19 touches. But how about Emmanuel Sanders here? 14 targets, 12
your boy.
Catches. Yeah, that's my guy. I mean, Eric, you were in the preseason. We basically had like a monstrous fight over Emmanuel Sanders. And it may have taken till week 5, and it may have taken Michael Thomas to be completely out. But I don't know about you. I feel completely justified at the moment. 14 targets, 12 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. So, Eric, what do you think about Sanders here? Is, first of all, there are one of two things. One, do you think that this is sort of, you can write off a little bit of his slower start to the fact that he was learning the offense, number one? And number two, do you think that he can be a viable option even after Michael Thomas comes back?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Dan, it was nice to see Sanders have a monster game. I'm like, the guy's had 23 targets over the last two games, you know, with Michael Thomas out of the lineup. At least for me, you know, because Thomas is very close to returning. I know he had that, you know, kind of suspension, you know, kind of a altercation, you know, where I guess he was called a slot receiver, you know, et cetera. He got triggered. We know what happens there. But I think once Thomas returns, you know, Sanders is really more of a wide receiver 5 for me, you know, in my opinion, just given how Breeze is playing and just it's only so many targets, right?
No, I think that's definitely fair. Yates, how about you? I mean, I know you and Tags are basically like wide receiver 9 territory coming into the season. So where are you now?
No, looking at Sanders, it all comes down to Michael Thomas. And it's interesting, too, because you see Sanders have this huge game, and then you see Tre'Quan Smith, 2 for 8. You know, like, he was just a non-factor, whereas that's been opposite the past couple of weeks. I know Sanders has brought a safe floor, but yet Tre'Quan Smith has been the one who's been finding the end zone. So I think looking at, it's going to be Michael Thomas. It's going to be Michael Thomas. It's going to be Alvin Kamara in this offense as the 1A, 1B from a target perspective, and then it's just a trickle-down effect. Like, who gets the ball each week? I think Sanders could be the next guy up, but yet how much does that actually translate to fantasy football production? So that's kind of where I'm viewing Sanders as a wide receiver, low-end wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, this guy that you can roll out if you're desperate, but otherwise I'm not really holding out hopes for him.
I totally disagree. I have him 48th rest of season, so no, I'm just, that's right where you guys are. Yeah, I agree. I do think that he can. I do think that, you know, we've been waiting to see Breeze with a viable second receiver option. I mean, Jared Cook sort of took that role, and kudos to Jared Cook for not only playing yesterday, but catching that touchdown pass, even though he didn't have a ton of targets. I do think that Sanders can be this extra safety valve and can provide weekly value, but for now, given that they have a bye, given that Thomas is coming back and will make a big difference, I'm not pushing him up my board too much. I'll go to Yates very quickly here as we finish up on the Saints before we get to the Chargers. Tough matchup for Latavius Murray. He does have 57 total yards. Are you've been pretty bullish on Latavius Murray all season. Anything changing your mind here? Or are you still good with him?
I mean, bullish is a relative term because it's looking at the other options at the running back position and going like Latavius Murray is going to see work. So this was a weird game all around. You know, the Chargers go up big and then that takes Latavius Murray off the field. I think that moving forward, he's going to be a matchup dependent RB3. You know, like in these games where you project the Saints to be leading and leading, you know, heavily, then that's where you can roll in Latavius Murray as a fine option. But outside of that, it's going to be hard to trust him because as soon as they go down, then it's Alvin Kamara moving forward.
Yeah, and their defense just, you know, they've dealt with injuries, but they clearly haven't played quite as well. Let's go to the Chargers here, though, because we got a lot to unpack here. Keenan Allen catches the early touchdown pass. He leaves with a back injury. I have not seen anything on the severity of it yet with the schedule changes. They have a bye next week. So I'm just operating right now under the assumption that after the bye week, he's going to be back. Have you guys seen anything? Have I missed anything that suggests that it's a severe injury?
I have not seen anything.
Yeah, okay. Likewise. I haven't either.
All right. So for now, I would not move Keenan Allen for rest of season. He's clearly going to be heavily involved as he was right off the bat with a great play by Herbert to throw that touchdown pass to him. So I wouldn't be too worried about him rest of season, particularly because they now have the bye. But let's look at the running game. That's what fantasy managers really want to focus on. Joshua Kelly here, 11 for 29 on the ground. Just one target, catches it for 9 yards through the air. He plays 35% of the snaps. Justin Jackson, 15 for 71 on the ground, 6 targets, 5 catches, 23 yards through the air, plays 59% of the snaps. He looked far more explosive. So, Eric, we've got Austin Eckler out for at least, you know, 3 more weeks after this. They're on the bye, of course, possibly longer. How do you view this running back situation? Are we just bumping Jackson ahead based on this one game, or do you think Kelly is going to retake kind of that lead role?
Yeah, I'm more in the camp that it's Justin Jackson, you know, is going to be the lead guy. I know he was someone that I mentioned last week in my under the radar column at The Athletic. So you look at the numbers. I'm like, he finished the game, you know, with 20 touches for 94 yards. I'm like, Jackson was targeted six times. I'm like, he outsnapped Kelly 42-25. And I'm like, the Chargers, the one thing that's really interesting with this team, you know, coming out of the bye, I'm like, they have one of the most favorable running back schedules, which bodes really well for Jackson's rest of season outlook. It's still going to be a committee, but Jackson is a guy that I want, you know, because he's the one that they're using as a receiver out of the backfield as well.
How about you, Yates? Are you ready to just completely draw conclusions from this one game?
I've got them back to back in my rest of season rankings. So I've got Justin Jackson at 29 and Josh Kelly at 30. So I'm giving the edge here to Justin Jackson. I want more of a sample size before I completely go, all right, this is Justin Jackson's backfield as far as the main back to own. But yet, you have to, I mean, based on what we saw last night, Jackson looked explosive. I think Kelly's still going to get the goal line work. But if Justin Herbert is still going to be slinging 40-yard touchdowns, they're not going to be at the goal line. So, moving forward, Justin Jackson is, I think, the guy to roster. But I'm not completely writing off Joshua Kelly yet.
Yeah, I moved Jackson ahead of Kelly in rest of season rankings. I think it would be very difficult not to after this game. He just looked better, and it would seem strange if they just, you know, considering we didn't really know how this was going to break down, if they just said, no, you know what, we're going back to Joshua Kelly. But you do make a good point, Eric. You know, again, we've got Eckler out for at least, you know, a few more weeks. They do have the bye, then they have Jacksonville, Denver, the Raiders, Miami. I mean, it's a schedule that you can exploit as a running back. So one of these guys is probably going to have value. And right now, I would be betting on Jackson as well. Now, Mike Williams, you and I talked about yesterday, kudos to Tags, who's basically like, no, going out there, getting Mike Williams. And you and I were like, all right, let's see if he's going to play tonight. And he has a huge game. He's got the bye coming up. We'll see about moving him up. You and I both were immediately after that game, yep, we're going to redo our waiver wire sort of thoughts on him. So, I mean, Eric, he was borderline to play here with the hamstring injury. 8 targets, 5 catches, 109 yards, and 2 touchdowns. We said don't draw too many conclusions by what we saw in his limited action with Herbert because we just didn't know exactly what it was going to be like. Herbert was willing to throw the ball to him. Williams looked great. How do you feel about Mike Williams rest of season?
Now, I do like Mike Williams. I think he's firmly back on the wide receiver 3 radar, you know, especially after this monster performance. I was curious going into this game how he was going to play with the hamstring injury, and we saw what happened. I'm like, he posted his first 100-yard game of the season. I think this performance really gives us a taste and shows really everyone the upside, you know, that Williams has when tethered to Herbert, you know, under center, because he does like to throw the ball deep. So I'm really excited about his rest of season outlook.
So what would you give me a ballpark? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you do like actual rest of season rankings where you put guys in, but where would you roughly have him going forward, do you think?
I think I've got him at, and I may end up having to tweak this, but you know, I've got to have him around that 38 to 40 range.
Okay.
But I would say I would be willing to go as high as kind of like the mid 30s with him. He's definitely a wide receiver 3 because Allen is going to get, you know, the targets, and it just so happened that he was out of the game. But I think he's a weekly wide receiver 3 for me with upside for much, much more.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where my trepidation comes in, is the fact that this huge game happened once, you know, without Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen had been absolutely dominating targets when he was there. And again, Williams wasn't playing. So we don't really know how it looks with both of them on the field at the same time. But that's where a little bit of my hesitation comes in with Williams. How about you, Yates? How are you looking at this?
Mike Williams has been such a difficult evaluation so far this year. Going into draft season, I was like, I'm off of him because of the projected passing volume with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback. Then week one, he comes out, he gets, what, 8 or 9 targets. Look, from Tyrod, looks to be like the main guy in this wide receiver room, getting targeted deep downfield. So I'm like, all right, here we go. And then Justin Herbert comes in, obviously, in week two, after the whole thing with Tyrod happened. And then he's barely targeted. And then he's out. And then he comes back, and Keenan Allen, you know, like, so it's just been a roller coaster of trying to figure out what the heck to do with Mike Williams. I've always said that his skill set lines up with Justin Herbert's as far as targeting and having a cannon, targeting deep downfield and having a cannon of an arm. So I think that moving forward, right where Eric's got him, I'm a little bit lower. I've got him at 42 right now in my rest of season rankings, but right in that same territory. This guy that you can roll out as a flex week in and week out, I think his value is going to be dependent upon Keenan Allen, though. If Keenan Allen is going to miss a few weeks, then that's where Mike Williams could move up into a potentially even wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 2. However, with Keenan Allen on the field, I think that he's a flex play at best.
Yeah, I think that's where I land as of right now, because I do think that it's going to be difficult to get away from Keenan Allen when he's in there as great as Williams looked right now. He really was kind of him and Henry were the only options in the passing game right now. When you add an Allen into it, I think it probably hurts Allen's value overall, just given how good Williams looked. But I agree that without Allen, I'd probably be willing to roll him out there as closer to a high-end wide receiver three, more of a borderline one without him. Before we keep going, let's discuss FanDuel. One of the things we do as fantasy players is to dissect the weekly matchups, right? Because you're trying to get an edge on your opponent. You want to get that under-the-radar player who can really exploit a favorable matchup. But rather than worrying about your fab bids or your waiver priority, you can just play on FanDuel. You get a new team each week. The app is super easy to use and intuitive. You'll see different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level. You can compete for cash payouts. We talked about Alexander Mattison, right? He's got a great matchup against the Falcons. He's probably going to start with Dalvin Cook, almost certainly out. If you don't roster him, if he is not available, just play FanDuel. Get him in your FanDuel lineup. And if you sign up for FanDuel now, you will get a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. If you make a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. That's FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, guys, let's go to our most traded players. So we have our My Playbook tool where fantasy managers can put in their leagues and they can see sort of, you know, they can get waiver wire advice and get start sit advice through some of our tools. And one of the things that I can do is I can see the most traded players in leagues that have been incorporated into My Playbook. As it has been over the last 2 weeks, the most traded players dominated by running backs because people are scrambling with the postponed games, with just the injuries to running backs. Running backs are on the move constantly as fantasy managers look to fill some of the holes that they've got given the situation. 9 of the top 10 most traded players were running backs this week. Not surprising. Same thing as last week, I believe. So I want to talk about 3 of them because I want to see these guys are interesting to me and how we view them rest of the season. So the 4th most traded player since Sunday, so starting from Sunday, so just since the week, is Myles Gaskin. So Gaskin comes off this pretty big game here, 21 touches, 91 total yards, and a score. He's got no fewer than 13 touches in any game. The big one in this past game against the 49ers was the fact that Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch. And so that has always been the big cap on Gaskin's value, right? You know he's never going to get the goal line touches because Jordan Howard is always going to get in there, gain his 1 yard, and fall into the end zone. He's a 22nd running back on the season. So let me ask you, Eric, what's your general view on Myles Gaskin going forward rest of season?
Yeah, I do like Myles Gaskin in the role that he does have in the Dolphins offense. You know, he's getting a ton of opportunities. But my concerns with the Dolphins is that in many cases with their defense, you know, they could find themselves in shootouts, you know, or trailing. But the good news of Gaskin is that he's still being used, you know, quite extensively as a receiver, you know, out of the backfield. But for me, he's more so of like a low end, like running back 2, just given the situation in Miami. But I do like him quite a bit.
Yeah, that's where he's come in. He's the 22nd ranked running back on the season. Yates, how about you? How are you feeling about Gaskin here? Yates, by the way, do you remember when I advocated for picking up Myles Gaskin and you said so stupid? Do you remember that? Remember
that one? I wasn't calling you stupid.
I disagree.
I was calling the usage of Myles Gaskin. No, I've got Myles Gaskin at 27, and I've got him right above Devontae Freeman. So I think this, like, safe option, and I see why he's the most traded player, because if teams are one of the most traded players, because if a team has several wide receivers that they can utilize and they have the depth, then trade away one of those wide receivers for a safe RB2. You know that he's going to get work. And even if, like Eric said, if they are in shootouts, he's going to be involved in the receiving game. So with Jordan Howard going out, as far as that healthy scratch, and you know that he's not going to come in when they have the ball on the 1 or 2 yard line, then it's Myles Gaskin. And he now has some upside too with scoring opportunities. So yeah, I like him moving forward a lot more than I did previously. That's for sure.
That was one of my rest of season questions, is who would you prefer going forward, Myles Gaskin or the resurgent Devonta Freeman? And you're saying you have Gaskin one spot higher, Yates?
Yes, correct.
How about you, Eric? If you had to choose one, Myles Gaskin or Devonta Freeman going forward?
Yeah, and that's a tough one because I do like Freeman, and I know he was another player that I highlighted in my column at The Athletic for last week. But I'm leaning more towards Gaskin. I'm like, you look, you know, he's leading the Dolphins backfield, you know, in touches, you know, and in snaps, and so you know, he's just really a solid flex play, you know. But his ceiling is limited, so I'll go with Gaskins. Just a better offense overall than the abomination that is the Giants.
Yeah,
I'll say this too. Really quick with Freeman. I mean, you look at his upcoming schedule. I mean, he just went up against Dallas, and Dallas has been atrocious from a defensive perspective. Now they go up against Washington, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Washington, and Philadelphia again the next 5 weeks. So moving forward, I'm not expecting big games from Freeman. I think he brings a safe floor, but yet moving forward, I would prefer Myles Gaskin.
It's not the greatest schedule for Gaskin either. I mean, they do have the Jets, who again are generally tougher against the run than they are the pass, then a bye, then the Rams. I mean, the Cardinals, Chargers. It's not the greatest schedule for Gaskin, but I agree. I do have Gaskin ahead of Devonta Freeman going forward. And I have him 24th. So basically we're all in the same range. He's, you know, Eric and I are more low-end RB2. Yates is more very high-end sort of RB2, but we're right there in the same range. He is a guy. He's not going to be really all that exciting, but Eric, you mentioned it. He does factor into the passing game, and that's a big deal because the Dolphins probably are going to be playing from behind more often, but it doesn't really matter because Gaskin stays on the field for the most part and does get involved in the passing work. So we have this other thing. I mentioned, you know, he's one of the most traded players that I can see from my playbook. We also just have this start sit tool that you can use, and one of the things that looks in it is we also have a trade tool that you can look to see sort of when you're looking for trades. I can see the players that are searched for when you're looking for trades, and so let me ask you, because these are the most popular search that I have seen is Myles Gaskin for Diontae Johnson. Now you obviously have Johnson with the potential injury concerns, but if you're rostering Gaskin, Eric, and somebody comes to you and you're, you know, let's say you're relatively strong at running back and you kind of need a wide receiver. I don't want to go the whole you desperately need a wide receiver and you're stacked at running back, of course, but you're okay at running back. You can afford to lose one if you have to, and you're kind of in need of a wide receiver. Would you do Myles Gaskin for Diontae Johnson? Is that the range that you're looking at?
Yeah, for me, I would just rather keep Gaskin. I just value just running backs who are getting touches and who are on the field quite a bit, because it's like a desolate wasteland, like Mad Max style, once you get beyond these backs that don't. And then one thing with the Steelers, you know, with their wide receivers, I'm like, you still have, you know, Juju that's there. You got Diontae Johnson, and plus you got the emergence of Chase Claypool as well. And so all of them are getting targets and getting fed. So in that scenario, I don't mind trading Gaskin. I just rather have someone else outside of Diontae Johnson.
How about you, Yates? What about that trade?
I would personally prefer Johnson, but it comes with the caveat of him being healthy. We just don't know that yet. We haven't gotten the practice reports. We don't know his injury status. So if he's fully healthy, then I think that he is the clear target leader in this offense. So at that point, in a dynamic offense led by Ben Roethlisberger. So I would prefer to have Diontae Johnson, but yet I definitely understand people making that move.
Yeah, I do the trade charts and I start writing it, you know, after Yates and I do a waiver wire live stream that we'll do later today. And my guess is that's going to be basically an even trade, with the caveat of course Johnson's injury. I think that's it. But I side with you, Eric. I always prefer to hold the running backs, and I get a lot of questions about it because I'll have like my 14th ranked running back ranked in the same trade value as essentially my number one or number two wide receiver, because that, I mean, the running backs, just guys with guaranteed touches who you can roll out there each and every week, are just far more valuable than the wide receivers. I will bring this point, since we're having a listener mailbag questions at the end, that we did get one about Myles Gaskin. It's from Reed Wolf, and I think we know what the answer is going to be here, but it was who won the trade. It was done before this week, and it was he traded away Myles Gaskin for Justin Jefferson in PPR. So in that scenario, you know, the receiver usually gets a boost, but Gaskin does factor into the passing game. I would prefer Gaskin there. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I'll lean towards Gaskin just because of, you know, the opportunities that he's getting. So you just got to go with the volume.
How about you, Yates?
That's close. I'm going to take Gaskin on that in that one, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, the questioner was basically saying, like, just to be clear, it's before this week, because, you know, I think Gaskin's value certainly rose a little bit after this week. Okay, number six on the most traded players list this week is Le'Veon Bell. Not terrible numbers overall against Arizona. I mean, 13 carries for 60 yards is okay. Just one target, one catch for 7 yards. I am a Jets fan, as everybody knows. I watched the game probably a little more closer than anybody should ever have to. He looked slow to me. He really did. He looked slow. It looked like, you know, if you put sort of a garden variety running back in the same exact scenario as Le'Veon Bell had this past week against Arizona, he would have gained a lot more yards. Now you have all this animosity between him and Adam Gase and everyone in Adam Gase, but Le'Veon Bell, and they maybe they'll trade him. So, I think he is one of the more difficult backs to value going forward, given all these outside factors. So, Eric, how are you generally viewing Le'Veon Bell going forward?
Yeah, it's a tough one because, you know, the guy can still, you know, physically kind of get things done, you know, at his age. He's obviously lost a step like anyone that's older, but really the only Jets player, you know, that I want anything to do with in fantasy is Jameson Crowder. It's really tough to have confidence in Le'Veon Bell right now. And I would say when you look at, like, you know, rest of season rankings, you know, I actually have him ranked as like my RB33 right now.
Okay. Yeah, no. All right. So that's good. So my question was going to be him or Myles Gaskin, but you clearly have kind of a teardrop between him and Myles Gaskin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got Gaskin right now at around, let me check real quick, 25.
Okay. Yeah. How about Le'Veon Bell or Devonta Freeman?
Out of those two, now we're getting kind of getting a little bit closer.
That's more of your range where you are. See, because I have, and Yates sounds like he has, we have Freeman closer to where Gaskin is up there. So it's interesting. So you have Freeman a little lower than that tier with Gaskin.
Yeah. When you look at Gaskin and then Le'Veon Bell, and then you go to Freeman, like I actually have Freeman like a couple of spots after Le'Veon Bell, like around like 36, but he's a player, you know, just Yates mentioned this a moment ago about the Giants' upcoming schedule. And I really like what I saw in that, you know, kind of quote unquote good matchup against Dallas from Freeman, that he's a guy that I'll probably end up bumping up. You know, as we all go through our processes, you know, after tonight's game, right?
Right. Yep. Absolutely. How about you, Yates? How are you viewing Bell?
It's actually crazy. I've got all these guys back to back to back in my rest of season rankings. So I've got Gaskin, Freeman, and then Bell. The thing with Le'Veon Bell is that we knew that he wasn't necessarily going to be this explosive athlete, like going to get a ton done on the ground. It was his work through the receiving game that was going to provide safe value for, or a safe floor for teams that desperately need just a safe running back, someone that they can plug in and know that they're going to get, you know, his 5 targets, 6 targets. He's probably going to reel in all of them. And, you know, he's probably not going to get a ton done after the catch, but yet in a full PPR league or half PPR league, that was going to be valuable. And if that's not going to be the case, then we've got to bump down Le'Veon Bell. He now becomes this guy that has huge question marks. And so at this point, Dan, I'll throw it to you because it goes Myles Gaskin, Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, and then Justin Jackson right behind him. Like, Justin Jackson, at this point, his arrow is pointing up. Granted, it's for the next few weeks until Austin Ekeler returns, but yet, like, which one would you rather have right now?
Yeah, I have them ranked exactly that way. Exactly that way that you just laid them out. I think the fact that Le'Veon Bell got 1 target in this past game, and I think he got 2 targets in his first game before he went down, is absolutely ludicrous, considering that the Jets have legitimately nobody to throw the ball to other than the greatest wide receiver on the planet, Jameson Crowder. I don't understand, and I have to think that that's going to change. Whether Adam Gase actually gives up the play calling duties, as has been questioned, or whether or not he says, you know what, because even if Bell has lost a step, which he does appear to, he still is, you know, one of the better backs from a pass-catching role, and the fact that they're not utilizing him like that is mind-boggling. I do kind of expect that to change, although I don't want to fall into the fallacy of rational coaching, so I'm not going to necessarily bet on that. So for right now, I have him, you know, move down. I am willing to think that there could be better days ahead, just because, well, they can't be much worse, number one. But number two, it doesn't make any sense that they would utilize him this way. They're always going to be playing from behind. I'd have to think he'll get more involved in the passing game. But for now, yeah, he's right there, Yates. He's in my, like, low 30s, I believe, for running backs, because it's just not somebody who I'm looking to acquire. But let me ask you guys this. This is, again, he popped up in 3 of the most commonly searched for potential trades. So let's start here, and I will go probably, well, maybe not highest to lowest, but Eric, one of the most commonly searched for trades, Le'Veon Bell for Juju Smith-Schuster, who do you prefer?
Le'Veon Bell for Juju. Yeah, I would prefer Juju on that one.
How about you, Yates?
Same here.
How about Le'Veon Bell or CD Lamb?
CD Lamb.
Yates.
this would have been a super easy, you know, decision before Dak's injury to go CeeDee Lamb. It's a little bit closer now with Andy Dalton stepping in, but I think I'll still take CeeDee Lamb in that situation.
So would I. Yeah, let's just very quickly talk about that. How are you guys? Are you guys massively downgrading? Eric, I'll start with you, the Dallas wide receivers, given the fact that it's going to be Andy Dalton and not Dak Prescott going forward, or is it just a minor downgrade or not at all?
Yeah, I think it's a minor downgrade. One thing that makes you know, the quarterback position in Dallas attractive and also the wide receivers is really with their schedule. You know, Dalton, I'm like, he's started before, obviously, in you know, in Cincinnati. You know, he's had his moments, you know, throughout his career, but I think he's surrounded by, yeah, I would say really the best supporting cast that he's had his entire career. And so that's really, really attractive. One thing when you look at like 4-for-4's schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed, like a strength of schedule metrics that gets, you know, continuously updated as the season progresses. I'm like, for quarterbacks, I'm like, Dallas has like the fourth most fantasy friendly schedule for quarterbacks. So they've got the fourth. You look at wide receivers in PPR formats, because I think most people play PPR unless you're in the Stone Age, right? When you look at the wide receiver position, I'm like, for Dallas, I'm like, that's also like in the top 10 of favorable schedules. And so I think the perception is that, oh, Dak's out. And Dak is a phenomenal player. I don't want to take anything away from him. But with this system and Andy Dalton and these weapons that he has, I don't think the downgrade is as much as people think.
That I completely agree with that. And I'm glad, because I mentioned it yesterday. Yeah, it's very quickly on our waiver wire show. You and Tags were both very much like, you know, I mean, not about the wide receivers, just about Dalton, even as a fantasy option. I don't view it, you know, I think the offense, it's a mild downgrade for each of the wide receivers, but I don't think it's massive. Do you, Yates?
No. I mean, like, looking at the wide receivers, bumping them down a couple spots, but it's going to be the defense. The defense can't stop anyone. So at that point, then you're going to continue to see Andy Dalton air it out the same way that Dak Prescott did. So I think that if this was, you know, a no-name or a rookie, you know, quarterback stepping in place of Dak, then that would be something where I'd be like, okay, this is a massive downgrade. But yeah, Eric brought it up. This might be Andy Dalton's best surrounding cast that he's ever played with. So I think that all he has to do is just get the ball out of his hands and into the hands of his wide receivers and let them create. So yeah, I don't think it's a massive downgrade. Andy Dalton, the thing that you bring up there, Dan, is just mostly looking at like the other options that you have at quarterback. Like, I don't think you can trust Andy Dalton week one out of the gate as a streaming option. So that's what, but long-term, I think that, yeah, if he has a favorable schedule, I think there's definitely going to be moments where you can plug him in as a streaming option.
All right, the final most searched for trade, and maybe this is finally where we found the floor of Le'Veon Bell's value, is Le'Veon Bell for Marvin Jones. Who are you taking there, Eric?
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to go with Le'Veon Bell there, because really with the volume. Jones is one of those guys for where I'm like, on the surface, you're like, yeah, if this guy's like getting the targets, he's the number one guy, you know, he's going to thrive. But whenever I watch Jones, I just see a guy that can thrive, but he needs to have like an alpha receiver, you know, playing alongside an alpha receiver. So I'd rather go with Bell. So we know there's going to be some volume there. Hopefully Gase gets some sense and targets him as a, you know, receiver out of the backfield, but I digress.
Yeah, it's Bell or Jones.
That's so gross.
Yes.
I'll take Le'Veon Bell there pretty easily.
Yes, me too. Correct. The answer is that's gross. That is the correct answer. But yeah, I agree. I mean, Jones, oddly enough, the only league I rostered Jones in, I somehow held him through. I don't know why. Like, it was just, I wasn't really looking to do it. They have a good schedule, but Jones has shown nothing. And so I would prefer to take the almost nothing that Le'Veon Bell has shown. All right, so before we move on, you know what you don't think about until it happens? A medical emergency. And then when it does happen and you need to be transported to the hospital, you're usually hit with a massive bill that you weren't expecting. I've seen it happen a ton. My own relatives, my friends' parents, even my own friends. And when it did, everyone said the same thing. This cannot be how it works. We can't get hit with these types of crazy expenses just for being transported to a hospital. But now, we've all found AirMed Care Network, and we can rest a little easier. Members get world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses, not a dime. It's a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships to AirMed Care Network cost as little as $85 a year for your whole household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use offer code FantasyPros. That's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Offer code FantasyPros. Last most traded guy. This guy is number 7 on the list of most traded players this week. It's Antonio Gibson. There's a little trepidation here. We talked about J.D. McKissick yesterday, Yates, on the Waiver Wire show. He's essentially splitting snaps, the two of them together. But 9 catches overall in the last two games, 33 touches overall in the last two games. So that's something that, you know, although the production wasn't there in this last game, certainly the touches have been there enough for fantasy managers to probably want to go after him, I guess. But what do you think about Gibson going forward, Eric?
Yeah, I like Gibson. And from what we've seen, as the season has progressed, you know, they've tried to put him in a position, you know, to be successful. I think one thing that Gibson needs is just to get him out in space, you know, let him use his athleticism to make things happen. And I think we've seen, you know, more of that. And he's been able to score touchdowns, you know, create like a ton of, you know, total, you know, scrimmage yards. And so, you know, I think he's a guy for where he's on the RB2 radar, at least in my opinion, with upside, you know, RB1 upside, just depending on the matchup.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, looking at week 3 against the Browns, week 4 against the Ravens, week 5 against the Rams, like those are 3 pretty tough matchups moving forward. Giants, Dallas, bye week, Giants, Lions, Bengals, Dallas. Like those are some really, really nice matchups for Antonio Gibson. So even though he's splitting the work with J.D. McKissick and he might lose some of that work as a receiver, he's still seeing enough work in the receiving game to be a viable option. And then now he gets the amazing matchup. So it's going to be hard for you to throw out one of these, you know, I'm sure that you're going to list off some of these trades, but like, it's going to be hard for me to say that I would take the other player over Antonio Gibson based on the running back position in fantasy football to begin with now, but then based on his upcoming schedule too.
So they're the trades that are most searched. There are 3 of them. They're really interesting. Yates, you and I talk about how we hate the 1-for-1 in the same tier. Like, I just hold whoever you have. There are a couple of those, but these 3, I think, are all really interesting. So let me ask you, Eric, and I think let's probably view it, let's say half PPR, if we're viewing how these trades would necessarily go down, because we'll just basically take the middle road of wherever we have. Odell Beckham for Antonio Gibson. Who do you prefer there?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. Odell Beckham.
Yeah, these trades for Gibson, you know, the fantasy managers who are searching, you know, should I make this trade? These trades are right in line with, I think, where people need to be thinking about. So I think each one of these is a really difficult question. So if you're basically like, that's just a fair deal, it depends on need, that's a totally acceptable answer.
Yeah, no, I think that is a very, very reasonable deal, just given from what we've seen from Odell Beckham and Gibson, you know, for the season. It really comes down to that context of, you know, which position, you know, that you need. So, yeah, ooh, that's, you really got me, got my wheels turning on that one. So I think it's pretty balanced. I'm going to go with OBJ, though.
Okay. All right. Yeah. In a vacuum, OBJ. How about you, Yates?
Yeah, in a vacuum, OBJ, but team need would tip that towards Gibson.
I'm going to, you know, I'll dig into it again tonight when I do the trade chart. I think in a vacuum, I'd prefer Gibson. I've been fading Beckham a little bit for most of the season. I think there are going to be the boom games that we saw a couple of weeks ago, but I think for the most part, the targets just are not going to be there enough to make him this really, really solid wide receiver too. I think he's more of a back end option. And in that case, I'll take more of the low end RB2 than the low end wide receiver too. So for me, that would probably be Gibson, but these are the 1-for-1s with running back. So it's basically, who do you prefer here going forward? Eric Gibson or David Montgomery?
Yeah, I would prefer David Montgomery over Gibson.
How about you, Yates?
I would as well.
Yeah, for me, they're next to each other back to back. So it's completely an even trade. How about Gibson or David Johnson? That's the 3rd one that's most searched.
Yeah, I would go with Gibson on that one. I'm like, David Johnson's getting the workload, but I'm like, as far as from efficiency lens, I'm like, he looks like he's struggling out there.
Yeah, I mean, he did gain, you know, almost 100 yards. Looked like there was an effort to get him to the 100 yards, and he could have had a touchdown had Watson not overthrown him, but it's certainly been disappointing for Johnson. How about you, Yates, with that one?
Yeah, those guys are back-to-back. I've got Gibson at 21 and David Johnson at 22.
And where do you have Montgomery out of curiosity, Yates?
19.
Okay. All right. I think all of that is fair. Yeah, these are all tough for me. I would not bat an eye if I saw Gibson for Beckham, Gibson for Montgomery, or Gibson for David Johnson. I would say, okay, that's fine. That's personal preference. But again, don't do the 1-for-1 in the same tier. It just doesn't work. Just hold what you've got and ride it out and see where it goes. All right, guys, let's go to buy low, sell high. Let's do one player each that we want to buy low on, and then one player each that we want to sell high on. So let's start with you, Eric.
All right, so buy low. You know, I had two guys that that came to mind, but I'll bring up one that's maybe not quite as obvious, but I will go with Terry McLaurin. I know there's a lot of talk, you know, in Washington, you know, Dwayne Haskins, you know, being benched. We got Alex Smith getting, you know, taking snaps, you know, Kyle Allen that's there. But I think the many in the community are still down, like on McLaurin. But this is a guy that's averaged, you know, 9.2 targets, nearly 99 air yards, and 15 PPR fantasy points per game. And so what I do like about McLaurin in Washington is their rest of season schedule. You got to look at some of these games. I'm like, you know, you got the Giants, Cowboys, Giants, Lions, Bengals, Cowboys, Steelers, 49ers, Seahawks, and Panthers. And so it was reported, too, that Kyle Allen will remain the team starter for week six, which I believe is a good thing for McLaurin's fantasy prospects. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to do for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I like that because I do think that, you know, this is the time where you capitalize, right? When he's coming off a bad game, plus there are variables. They were like, well, maybe somehow people are out there thinking that, like, well, maybe Dwayne Haskins really helped McLaurin's value when realistically probably hurt it. And Allen is going to be better for him regardless. So I like that as a buy low candidate. Yates, you agree with that?
Yeah, I like that call, especially bringing up his schedule. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, you said the Giants, Cowboys, Giants, Lions, Bengals, Cowboys.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a great schedule for basically everybody who's on the Washington football team. So, well, to the extent there are people that you want to have on your fantasy roster,
you mean Gibson and McLaurin?
Two people, not Logan Thomas. Don't worry, Yates. Okay, Yates, go ahead. Who's your buy low candidate this week?
I'm going to throw out Chris Godwin. And I think that you can get Chris Godwin as low as you know, probably will for the entire season. I don't know his injury status, obviously coming out for next week at this point, but yet even if he doesn't play this week, I want the top tier wide receiver option. This Buccaneers offense needs a healthy body. They need Chris Godwin in the lineup, and I think that he's going to soak up targets. So looking at Godwin, it's never my favorite, I'll say this that way, to like go out and acquire someone who's currently injured. But yet when it's Chris Godwin who is going to come back and just soak up targets in this offense, I think that, and especially too for these rosters that are needing that, especially I'll throw it this way too, like for the rosters that are currently like 4-1, right? Like the ones that are just dominating this year, if you can go out and sell some running back depth, some immediate need to a roster that's struggling right now, and you can acquire Chris Godwin, you can position it like, hey, I've got this depth, this player that can help you right now, and you can get Chris Godwin and afford to sit him one more week, and then you make that push for the playoffs, I think that that is a really, really smart move right now.
Yeah, I love that because I think Godwin's value is really depleted right now, given the fact that he's had injuries throughout the season now. I mean, he had the concussion, of course, but he's got this now. And the one thing that gives me encouragement, and I agree with you, I have a little hesitation about trading for players who are injured. People keep asking about Julio Jones. I'm just like, I don't know, because I really don't know how serious this is, considering he aggravated it. But the good thing here is that they could have, if they thought that this was like a, you know, a definitely out for several weeks, they could have just put him on IR because it's 3 weeks and he's already been out for two. So you'd have to think that he's either going to come back this week against Green Bay or probably at worst the following week against Las Vegas. So Godwin is somebody who, despite the fact that he's injured, he is somebody who I would go out and try to target. How about you, Eric? Are you comfortable with that with Godwin, or are you staying away because of the injury?
No, I'm not staying away because of the injury. You know, they've given him ample time to heal up. And I love the call because I think this offense needs Godwin. And actually, I had for sale high, Mike Evans was one guy. I'll get into that in a moment. But no, I love the call, Yates.
Yeah. So, Yates, let me ask you something. Who would you be willing to give up for Chris Godwin? I mean, name a wide receiver, let's say, like even a one for one. I know we don't like to do that. But let's say if you're like, oh, man, I want to buy low. Who do you think you might be able to get another fantasy manager to take for someone like Chris Godwin?
This ties right into my sell high, and that's DJ Moore.
Okay.
If you can sell DJ Moore off the back, I mean, DJ Moore was someone that fantasy managers were hoping, that have been holding out hope for, like all offseason. And obviously we have seen, even though he had a great game this past week against Atlanta, one, it was Atlanta. Two, he scored on a long breakaway touchdown. So, and Robbie Anderson saw 13 targets to what, DJ Moore's five?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, five targets. So, like, he's the second wide receiver on this team. So, if you can now position fantasy managers that have been holding out hope for DJ Moore and hoping that he's going to turn into this top tier option. Again, like I said, if you are in the spot where you can now trade your winning team, you can now trade DJ Moore for Chris Godwin, I would absolutely do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Would you do that, Eric?
Yeah, I would, because Robbie Anderson is being treated as, you know, the guy. And you could look at the targets, you know, the type of routes that he's running, all those different factors. So, no, that's a really good call, Yates. Love it.
All right, so my buy low, it's a little higher end. So some people might hear the name and be like, I don't know. But look, Tyler Lockett right now, all the talk right now is DK Metcalf. With good reason, by the way. DK Metcalf is ridiculous. And as somebody who was going against DK Metcalf this week and felt like really good in the first half of that Sunday night game, and then at the end of the game I was like, no, just like triple team him because you know where the ball is going, especially in the end zone. I mean, Lockett started out the season great. He's got 83 yards in the past two games, just 9 targets, 6 catches. I think fantasy managers might be a little frustrated with it. I think with all the attention, all the talk that DK Metcalf is having right now, I could see people being a little bit like, man, I don't really know whether or not it's going to happen here with Tyler Lockett. And I do think, again, number one, he gets targeted a ton in the red zone. Still, both of them do. So I think that's going to be good. Number two, and this sort of goes to where your head was at, Yates, in terms of teams that are doing really well right now and are in a good position, like they might be 4-1. Seattle has a bye this week. We're into the mode right now where people are scrambling to fill out their rosters because of all these cancellations, because of the new bye weeks that they weren't prepared for necessarily. With someone on a bye week, if you can go and you can be like, look, I'll give you this guy right now who can play this week. And Mike Evans, again, you mentioned it, Eric. That's also a guy who I'd be looking to sell on. If I can trade Mike Evans for Tyler Lockett, I'm doing that, because that is a guy who I think Lockett is going to have a ton more value rest of season. And it is a time where a guy on bye right now, not that many fantasy managers can just afford to be like, man, this guy is not really producing the last couple of games. I think it'll get better, but he's got a bye right now. If you give me somebody like Evans who is producing right now, even though he's battling through injuries, that's a trade I'm willing to make. Eric, would you make that trade, Evans for Lockett?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I still view Tyler Lockett as like a top 10, fantasy wide receiver for rest of season rankings. Yeah, so I'm all over that.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got Lockett at 10 and I've got Evans at 16 right now. So yeah. And I think that Evans will come crashing down once Godwin comes back into the lineup. So yeah, absolutely. If I can make that trade, I'm doing it.
And I think that is a trade you can make, because Evans, despite the fact that he's limping around out there, man, I mean, kudos to that guy for playing through all the injuries.
Right,
like, he
completely
is producing right now. And I think you've got the double whammy of Lockett not really producing plus having the bye week. So that's a trade that I'm really going out there. Again, that's a tier break for me. That's not really in the same tier, because I do think that Lockett, I have not dinged Lockett much in my rest of season rankings just based on the last 2 weeks. I have moved Metcalf up because you have to, basically. All right, let's go to sell high. Eric, who's your sell high candidate?
Yeah, I would end up going with Mike Evans here. I think what's been kind of perplexing is that you look at Evans, and like, he's averaged 7 targets, you know, a little bit over 4 receptions, 54 receiving yards, 63 air yards, and 17 PPR fantasy points per game. You know, a lot of that's been fueled, obviously, by, you know, the touchdowns. He's been really effective, you know, with the targets. Like, he's averaged 4.3 fantasy points, you know, per game, you know, more than expected. You know, if you're looking at expected points and fantasy points over expectation. But, you know, I got to give it to Tom Brady, though. I'm like, he's done a really good job of diversifying targets, you know, amongst all of his playmakers. But with getting a guy like Chris Godwin back, I'm like, I think Evans is going to end up taking a back seat, because, you know, I've got Evans actually ranked, you know, for rest of season rankings around 16. And I've got Godwin at 11. So Godwin's going to be the guy. And so I think it's a perfect time to move on from Evans.
I mean, I think we all three of us are viewing this situation exactly right. This is the time to go out and try to get Chris Godwin if you can, and to sell high on Mike Evans, because, again, you talked about it. Who else was he throwing the ball to? I mean, legitimately, at the beginning of that game, starting out, one of my close friends is a Bucs fan, and he was like, I don't even know who's on the field right now at receiver half the time for this team because of how many injuries they've been dealing with. So I do think once Godwin gets healthy, you are going to see a little bit lesser of a role for Evans and more for Godwin. So I like that. And I mean, that was your guy too. Yeah, your guy was DJ Moore, right?
Mine was DJ Moore, correct. Yep.
So we talked about that. For me, it's another Buck. It's Ronald Jones. I'm not saying you have to sell. Selling high is the operative word here. He is playing really, really well. But remember, Leonard Fournette has not been healthy the past 2 weeks he was active this past time, but just an emergency situation. And then you had Keyshawn Vaughn even got, you know, he did have the fumble that was wound up being, you know, turned into a fumble, and then he was out for a little bit of it. I just don't really see Jones being this guy who's going to get 20 to 25 touches each week. Now, again, this is somebody who's actually looked good, but I do think that in the end, they didn't bring Fournette there for no reason. I think we have seen Jones look like, okay, this is the time. This is the time for Ronald Jones. Let's go. Let's do this. This is where he's going to shine. And then he has a missed, you know, blitz pickup, or he has a fumble, and then he kind of goes to the back of the line again. So this is a time where I think fantasy managers are willing to value him more like a strong RB2. And I have moved him up my rankings rest of the season. He's one of my risers, of course. But I would prefer somebody, and I don't know about you guys, somebody like Raheem Mostert. I'd prefer going forward, given how he dominated the touches in this last game. And the popular trade searches for him are guys like Robert Woods. I would prefer Robert Woods over running back, even how much I value running backs like Ronald Jones. But I am interested to hear your take, because I know, Yates, you and I in particular were talking about how great he looked and how much we have sort of started to move him up. But Eric, how do you view Jones as a sell high candidate, or is he somebody who you'd like to hold if you can?
No, I would consider Jones like a sell-high candidate, because to your point, I'm like, they brought Leonard Fournette in, you know, for a reason, and they also have Keyshawn Vaughn that's there as well. And so I think it was just one of those scenarios where it's just circumstance. You know, Leonard Fournette was out. Of course, Jones is going to be the guy. But from what I've seen from Fournette, I'm like, I like the way he's looked for the Buccaneers. And so I would just move on, use this as an opportunity to move on from Jones.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, if you can move Ronald Jones for Raheem Mostert, I'm doing that 10 times out of 10. I've got Mostert at 16, and I've got Ronald Jones at 24.
I think you could do that trade, by the way. I really do. Just from what I've seen out there with the general, you know, searches, I think that people are, you know, they're really buying into Ronald Jones. And he did, you know, when you have a game like that on a nationally televised
national stage,
right?
Yep.
That's where you really go. And Mostert did look good. But again, the 49ers I don't think, you know, he didn't score a touchdown. People aren't really focusing on the fact that he completely dominated the touches in that game, even with Jerick McKinnon, you know, healthy and having looked good. So I do think that's the type of trade that you can go out and make. And I think that fantasy managers are willing to do that again. Highlight, you know, the national TV game and how good he really looked in that one. All right, let's go to a couple of rest of season risers. Let's start with running back. Eric, who's a riser for you from this past week?
Yeah, I would say one guy that continues to rise for me, you know, would be David Montgomery. Yeah, I just I really like the situation that he's in. You know, you've got Juan Castillo there, you know, as the offensive line coach. I like some of the changes that they've made, like on the offensive line. Obviously, we got Tariq Cohen, you know, unfortunately, who's out with the ACL. And so I just do like the way that the offense is looking. I know that you may be like, really, with Nick Foles and Dr. Trubisky there. But I just do like what I've seen from Montgomery. I know he was a guy that I was pretty high on going into the season. And I just really want to get more games where he's kind of quote unquote the guy. So I've got him ranked right now is at number 22, rest of season ranking. So he's a guy that'll probably end up being moved up inside the top 20.
Yeah, Yates and I talked about him. I mean, the big thing is his involvement in the passing game now, right? Mm-hmm. Without Tariq Cohen, especially, that just, you know, in half PPR and full PPR, that just gives you such a high floor. So it was great to see. And of course, he scored his first touchdown. How about you, Yates? Who do you have for your running back riser?
Yeah, it's Raheem Mostert. We just talked about him.
Yep.
And him coming back into the lineup and dominating, like, not just like taking the majority, dominating the touches here in this backfield. And of course, looking great doing it. I mean, 8 yards per carry. Like, it's ridiculous what he's able to do on the football field. So I just think moving forward that we have to value Raheem Mostert. I have him at 16. He was at 22 going into this week. So he rose up quite a bit. I just think that moving forward, we have to be looking at Raheem Mostert as a solid RB2.
Yeah, he was my guy as well. I had him 24th coming in. He's up to 18. By the time I'm finished with the sweep, he'll probably be more like 17, 16 maybe as I go through it. So that's a really good call too. Another guy, we've talked about the other guys who I had on my list. Devonta Freeman shot up my rankings. Yeah. I get the schedule going forward, but that was one of the guys who not only dominated the touches, but watching him, he really was impressive, and it wasn't just the bad Dallas defense. I mean, he looked really good. So I had him basically out of consideration. I had him 40th. I think he's 27th now. He's a guy who I can start as an RB3. So he's one who really shot up. Let's go to a faller, though, on the other side. Eric, who do you have for your running back faller?
Yeah, I know one guy that's a faller for me is Joshua Kelly. I know he was a guy I was really, really excited about just to see the opportunity that he would have in this offense going into this year. But the usage and the number of snaps played were telling, because this was like a perfect opportunity to feed him and to see, you know, what he could do. So it may be something in practice that we're not seeing, for where the coaches don't have the confidence. But I know he's a guy that's a faller for me.
Yeah, I completely there. I had him 23rd because I really thought that I was like, okay, he's going to at least have the lion's share of the carries. And, you know, I trust him. I like this talent. I liked him before the season, and he has plummeted for me. Right now he's at 36, and I don't know where he's going to stop when I kind of redo my stuff tonight. How about you, Yates, running back faller?
That's my guy. It's Joshua Kelly. I had him at 21. He's now at 30. So I'm still I would move him lower than that, but it's looking at, again, the other options. Like, I can't confidently move him below some of the other guys. So I think with Joshua Kelly, I still think that he can be a fantasy relevant option. But if he's not going to receive the true workload that, you know, we were projecting, like, we weren't projecting Justin Jackson to get, what, 15 carries is what he got, Joshua Kelly 11. So, like, it was supposed to be the other way around, with Justin Jackson being more of a factor in the passing game than Kelly. So I think that if that's not going to be the case, then we have to be downgrading Joshua Kelly.
Yeah, he was obviously the number one on mine as well. A couple other fallers for me were Jerick McKinnon, for obvious reasons. I kind of thought maybe he would carve out a little bit of a partial role, even with Raheem Mostert back. And Mostert was questionable coming in. Not happening. Yeah, he came from 27 down to 40. And Mark Ingram, I mean, every week Mark Ingram is a faller, just because it's hard for me to really get. He was 38th last week, so I'm basically like fully out. He's even lower this week, down to 43, so he is one. By the way, I will say I just saw a tweet that basically everybody for the Bucs has returned to practice right now, including Chris Godwin and Leonard Fournette, so that's a good sign for their availability going forward next week. Wide receiver riser, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, one wide receiver riser for me would be Marquise Brown with the Ravens. You know, he kind of finally had a bigger game, you know, we'll say last week. But one thing with Brown that I like, you know, he's being treated, you know, as a number one receiver. I mean, he's getting the targets, you know, the air yards are obviously there. One thing with Brown that I really like is that, I mean, he's got a very wide receiver friendly schedule, I'll say, for the rest of the season. Like, I know when you look at their schedule, I know the Ravens have the Eagles. You know, for week six, then they've got, you know, going through their bye week, then they've got, you know, Pittsburgh, then they've got Indianapolis, Patriots, Titans, Steelers again, Cowboys, Browns, Jaguars, Giants, Bengals to close out the season. That's all the way through week 17. So I think he's really in a position to exceed expectations, and I kind of view him as more so a mid to low range wide receiver two moving forward.
Okay. All right, that's good. Yeah, because I had really started to move him down. I loved Brown coming into the season. I thought the volume would go up for the entire Ravens passing game, and I had slowly moved him down, 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 down. So he's still, for me, probably closer to like a borderline wide receiver two, like high-end wide receiver three, but I did move him up as well. How about you, Yates? Who's your wide receiver riser?
Yeah, it's Robbie Anderson. I still had him just inside running our wide receiver two territory last week. I just still wanted to see, like, okay, can he continue to be this dominant force? And what's DJ Moore going to look like, his involvement? But at this point, it's wheels up. I've got him at 18, and I still feel like that's too low.
Oh, yeah. I had Anderson still at 29. You know, I've been behind you on Anderson the entire, like, from the offseason into the season. I'm always one step behind you on Anderson. I am still one step behind you on Anderson, but he is firmly a wide receiver too for me going forward. I agree. There's just no reason to doubt him anymore. My only other guy, Anderson was my guy, but T. Higgins is a guy who is moving up, both because of AJ Green's injury, but also Higgins is just getting the targets. I mean, he's just involved. It happened earlier than I expected. So I had him outside wide receiver three range coming in 39th. He's now 32nd for me. And there's an argument to be made that he could be even higher. So that he's one of my wide receiver risers. Yeah, it's wide receiver faller.
Juju. Yes. Looking at Juju, I had him at 12 and now going down to 20. I just think
that... Oh my
God,
Yates. That's my exact ranking last week and my exact ranking this week.
Congratulations.
That's the correct answer. As you know. Go ahead.
With Juju, I think it's just looking at his target opportunity. And I talked about this on the Waiver Wire podcast yesterday, saying that once Claypool got the second touchdown yesterday, you could see the philosophy switch in the Pittsburgh offense to say, like, let's just feed Claypool. Let's see how big of a game he can have. So I'm not necessarily judging Juju's, you know, season-long outlook based on this one game that we see Claypool go off for four touchdowns, right? Juju wasn't involved much. I will say that. But yet, moving forward, I still think he can be a safe wide receiver two option for you, but to have him all the way up at 12 was a little aggressive on my part. I'm downgrading him quite a bit.
I legitimately the exact same ranking, so that is very good. How about you, Eric? You got your wide receiver faller?
Yeah, and I was trying to avoid like a guy with that was kind of dealing with some injuries, but I know one guy that came to mind was like with John Brown. You know, just given the situation there, I know Diggs is getting a lot of targets, a lot of air yards. But I just really like some of their the other receivers that they have on the roster. Gabriel Davis is a guy, that I'm really high on that I think will end up having kind of more of a role like in the offense. But no, I just really like Gabriel Davis. I like to see him get a little bit more of an opportunity. And even if Brown is semi-healthy, I think he'll be struggling with injuries off and on for the season. I think Gabriel Davis will end up getting more opportunities here for the rest of the season.
I like the bravery that you have in naming somebody who is going to hopefully play tonight. If he goes off for like three touchdowns, we're going to be like, oh man, I meant Reiser. I meant Reiser there. So it's dangerous. It's always dangerous to do it, but I love it. I love the bravery. All right. So very quickly, guys, because I do want to hit some listener questions. How about this? Anybody at QB who's significantly risen or fallen this week for rest of season? Justin Herbert is the one guy who has moved up significantly for me, a quarterback. Nobody really fell a ton. It was mainly Daniel Jones, who now I just feel like I can't trust regardless of the matchup. They're the only guys who moved significantly in my rest of season rankings for quarterback. Has anybody moved significantly based on this week in your rest of season rankings for quarterback, either direction?
Yeah, I haven't had too much movement. I just know I've always been pretty high on Derek Carr, and I know he actually had a really, really good game. I just know he's surrounded by, a ton of weapons. Henry Ruggs, he's got Bryan Edwards, he obviously has Darren Waller. And so I do like Carr, for the rest of season. I think he can end up finishing like as a high-end QB2, even with QB1 upside. I do like what they're doing offensively in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's moved up four spots also in my rest of season rankings. How about you, Yates? Either anybody other than Herbert or Jones?
I was just about to say, it's got to be Herbert. Herbert's a clear answer. I was so wrong on Herbert. He is looking amazing. And so looking at, I've got him up now at 18. I had him at 28, guys. I was not ready to buy in. Now I am.
Yeah, I had him at 24th. He's 17th for me now as well. So I agree. And we were all missed on him in the draft process. How about tight end? Anybody at tight end who after this week significantly rose or significantly fell in your rest of season rankings, Eric?
Gesicki.
Mike Gesicki, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know one thing with Gesicki that I liked is that I know the production hasn't been there, but the air yards, have been there. And so things are finally starting to come together for him. So for rest of season rankings, I actually have him ranked number 8.
Okay. All right. How about you, Yates?
Austin Hooper.
Yep.
We have to talk about the fact that he got 10 targets this past week in a tough matchup. So Austin Hooper, with the way that the tight end landscape is looking, he's looking like someone that you can roll out there moving forward. So I've got him at 16. I'm not going crazy just yet, but he was pretty far down my rankings before that.
Ditto, Yates. We are simpatico today. 23rd for me. Austin Hooper coming in. He's up to 17th. I agree. Targets are just something that we can't ignore. All right. We have answered a lot of the listener mailbag questions, as we often do just by our general discussion here. So let's go rapid fire here. I can give you two names. No analysis even necessary. But let's get here. From Bereza, Standard League, I'm strong at running back. Would you trade Devin Singletary for Hollywood Brown, Eric?
Yeah, I'd make that trade for Brown.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I would as well.
I'm okay with it, yeah. From Nick Virgilio, I believe, James Robinson, would you keep him or would you try to sell him reasonably high if you could, Eric?
Yeah, I'll go and keep Robinson, do the volume.
Yep. How about you, Yates?
Same here. I'm keeping him with the way the running back landscape's looking right now.
I mean, these guys don't grow on trees. From Paul Walker, I might have mistyped that. DJ Moore or Keenan Allen rest of season? Of course, we've got the questions about the back, but right now, if you had that offer, Eric, DJ Moore or Keenan Allen rest of season?
Got to keep Keenan Allen.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, pretty easily, assuming that everything's fine with his back.
Unless we get a negative report, I agree. Keep Allen. From Zach Davenport, Jonathan Taylor or Joe Mixon rest of season? Eric?
Yeah, I'll go with Joe Mixon here.
How about you, Yates?
Mixon pretty easily. He's getting a significant more amount of touches than Jonathan Taylor.
I also have Mixon pretty, about five spots ahead right now from Jonathan Taylor. Last one from Michael Liu. Would you trade Juju Smith-Schuster to get Julio Jones despite the injury concerns? Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I'd rather just stay away from Julio. If hamstring injuries linger, so Juju it is.
How about you, Yates?
From a surface level, I'd be like, yeah, give me that. But yeah, we just don't know when Julio's coming back. So I think I'm going to stick with Juju.
Right now, I do have Julio Jones ranked one spot ahead, but I just wouldn't want to make that trade regardless of the side I was on, because I feel like there's just a 90% chance I would regret it, whatever we were doing. All right, that's it for today. Eric, thanks so much for coming on. Remind everybody where they can find all of you and your great work.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Eric N. Moody, and also doing a ton of stuff at The Athletic, you know, my Under the Radar column. You know, it's published every week, and also you can check me out on The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast on Thursdays. But hey, gentlemen, thanks again for the invite. Anytime you need me, I'll be here.
All right, that is going to do it for today's show. Thanks to FanDuel. Don't worry if your season-long teams are struggling. Go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. Pick a new team each week. Get up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Thanks also to AirMed Care Network. Remember, protect you and your loved ones. Get the peace of mind you deserve. Just go to AirMedCareNetwork.com/FantasyPros. Use offer code FantasyPros. You'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. We'll be back tomorrow with our Start Sit show, everyone. We'll talk to you then.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.